Blog Talk
Welcome.
Radio.
All right. Welcome, people. This is the Daily Sports Herald. We are Lakers Court. We're talking about the Anthony Davis trade, what this means for the Lakers, who gets the credit for this. If you don't like it, who gets the blame for this? And what do we think about the Lakers' prospects after this? Who else might they pair up with Davis and LeBron? As always, with me is the other editor of the Daily Sports Herald, Mike Elliott. What's going on, Mike?
Yo! I'm very excited, Manish. This is what we've been waiting for, a return to star power in L.A., in Showtime coming back. This is what we've been asking for. Ask and ye shall receive. I'm amped about this. I like the trade. I want to address a few issues from some of the media pundits that just don't get it. They just don't grasp that this is a star league. And let's just get into it right now, man.
Yeah. So first things first, Davis traded for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the number 4 pick in this year's draft, and 2 future first round picks. That would be 2022 and 2024. Additionally, there's a potential for a first round pick swap in 2023. Mike, what is your initial thoughts about this trade? I'll give you my thoughts after you're done.
Well, first of all, there's the old adage in the NBA. The team that wins the trade is the team that got the best player. And clearly the best player in this deal is Anthony Davis. It's not even a question. Anthony Davis is an elite big man, an elite defender. He can face you up. He has a mid-range game. He can shoot the occasional 3-4 big, space the floor, and he can back you down in the post. He can put the ball on the floor. He has a complete offensive, versatile game. And remember from his days in Kentucky when he won the title, a fabulous help defender, outstanding elite shot blocker and rim protector. So he is clearly the best player in this deal. And he's a top 10 at worst player in the NBA. There's few 1-2 punches in the league that can match up to him and LeBron. And what I like about the deal is that the Lakers did not think themselves here. They saw that the Warriors were decimated. Two of their best players are pretty much out for the year. Probably Klay will come back late. And who knows how good Durant will be when he does come back. So this was the time to seize the opportunity. And to their credit, they jumped on it. And let's face it, all these young guys they're sending out, be realistic. If you had kept them, because we have a lot of knuckleheads in the media saying, oh, they pay too high a price. Oh, we can't part with this. Are you joking? Let's say we kept this young core. They were going to win a title next year with these people. Are you kidding me? I mean, Josh Hart, let's break it down player by player. What's your assessment of Josh Hart? I see him as nothing more than a role player, okay? Don't let the summer league last year fool you. At best, he's maybe a D. Fish clone. He ain't no star. He's a role player. Certainly next year he's going to be a role player. If we go to the number 4 pick in the draft that they gave away, this number 4 pick is not like the old prior drafts we've had. There's a drop-off after the first 2 players, let alone when you get to R.J. Barrett. After R.J. Barrett, it's slim pickings. There's no guarantees. Jarrett Culver, he kind of disappeared in the NCAA tournament. Hunter, kind of a limited guy. I mean, to me, the most important prospect after the first 3 might be Bol Bol, but no one's going to draft him 4th. So I don't think that's a big loss. Then you're getting down to Ingram and Lonzo. Okay, well, I mean, I'll let you – what do you think about losing Lonzo, Manish?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Lonzo Ball is actually again – Lonzo has been hyped up since he's been drafted. I was all in on him when he was drafted. I believed in his career at UCLA. The only thing that I ever questioned was this sort of dubious limp he showed in the NCAA tournament that made me begin to question whether he was going to be the kind of guy who was mentally tough enough. But that aside, he seemed to have some sense of the intangibles of the game. And to this day, I still have no idea about how good he might be. He may have a future in New Orleans, and it may even be at one level, get to an all-star game or two, or a few all-star games if he puts it together. to me, that doesn't mean a heck of a lot when you're talking about getting Anthony Davis in return. So when you talk about Brandon Ingram, and I'll throw him in there as well, who might even have more upside than Lonzo, two number two draft picks, both of whom have an upside. We've seen them from 2 and 3 years for 2 and 3 years respectively. And to take nothing away from them, they've shown flashes of potential. Lonzo Ball especially has struggled with the shot. And I'd say Ingram made the greater leap last year. Both players, solid players, and you would think that we're on the, you know, would be kind of guys you would invest in if you didn't have a chance to get an absolute bona fide superstar. And that's why I take your point very seriously. The idea of some of these people in the media, some of these uneducated fans who think that they gave up too much for a few draft first-round picks and these three young guys. I concur completely with your assessment that Josh Hart looks like a solid role player type in the NBA. Maybe he'll start, but that's not worthy of really weighing too much at all when you're talking about Davis. I've already gone over Ball and Ingram, both of whom have some talent. Again, we're talking Anthony Davis, top 5 to 10 player in the league. This isn't really a debate when it comes to that. And then the idea of these first-round picks. Like you said, the draft picks really do fall off after two and then again after three. I myself am somewhat intrigued by Darius Garland at four, but certainly he had such a short college career, we'd all be guessing and speculating if he meets some sort of potential that we might speculate about. So, again, the number four pick is there. And then the idea that, you know, people like Ramona Shelburne poo-pooing it a little bit by saying that New Orleans controls the Lakers draft for all these years. First of all, two of those years, the Lakers will still maintain their first round pick in 21 and 23. And then in those other years, people seem to forget this isn't about LeBron's closing window alone, which it is partially. We need to get to be a winner right now with LeBron James in these next 3 years. But also, you'll get Anthony Davis, presumably not just for LeBron's window, but for 3-4 years after LeBron's window. Anthony Davis is going to be the future of the Lakers. So provided you get that guy signed both times, this absolutely makes sense considering the Lakers situation. I'm sure, Mike, you like LeVar, maybe feel a little regret leaving Lonzo. I don't know. But I'll let you speak to the gracious father of Lonzo a little bit.
Well, first of all, with Lonzo, I mean, look, like you said, I mean, we don't know if these guys are going to be superstars. I mean, there's things I like about Alonzo's game. I like his height. On-ball defender. He's already shown that. I like the fact that he has court vision and can pass, and he's unselfish, and he pushes the ball. But there's a lot of things you don't like about Lonzo. Number one, he's been very injury-prone, okay? Number two, he has intangibles with unselfishness, but not necessarily assertiveness. Sometimes he flat-out disappears on the court. And quite frankly, as the team is presently constituted with these two stars, LeBron and AD, you need someone that can space the floor. And Lonzo, hey, when you're under 50% from the free throw line and you're bricking your threes, that's problematic, you know? So there's some issues there with Lonzo. And if you were going to ride or die with him at the expense of not getting Anthony Davis, that's idiotic. The man had got to go, you know, if the cost was not getting AD. And yes, the Lonzo limp. If you fans don't know what we're talking about, Kentucky, UCLA, NCAA tournament, De'Aaron Fox is lighting up Lonzo. Suddenly in the second half, Lonzo's limping the ball up court with every trip, trying to, apparently, he claims a hamstring injury. It could have been him trying to save face because De'Aaron Fox kept lighting him up. That showed mental weakness right there from what I was looking at. Now, in terms of, he can be an all-star. He made a definite leap, you know, defensively, and he has the potential to be a two-way player, you know, Scottie Pippen-like on D with that length. But, again, he's not even close to AD level right now, and AD is 26. It's not like you're giving up young players for a grizzled old veteran. He's a young guy himself, and a lot of Laker fans might not remember this because they're too young, and apparently some of the people in the media don't remember this either, But we went through this whole thing before in the 90s. It was called the Lake Show. We had Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, Cedric Sabalos, Robbie Duvock, Eldon Campbell, a lot of young guys, a lot of very talented young guys. And they kept that core, and they advanced to about the second round of the playoffs and got stomped every time by the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. They needed that star to get them over the hump. And until they got Shaq and Kobe developed and they got Phil Jackson, that's what finally did it. But we went through that phase. We saw what riding or dying with young players does, and it doesn't bring titles usually. This is a necessary move with LeBron's windows closing and with the Golden State Warrior injuries opening up an opportunity to seal the deal. So good move all around. I'm all for it. Now, you mentioned Ramona Shelburne, Manish. I got something to say about Ramona, okay? Now, all you Laker fans, we have our theories on Ramona Shelburne. First of all, I want you to know something personally that I witnessed from her, just so you know her loyalty as a, as a trusted Laker source. But I was at the Jerry Buss funeral. The media were invited. I was sitting next to Vic the Brick Jacobs. In case nationally you guys don't know who he is, he's one of the local media legends that covers the Lakers. I was sitting next to Vic the Brick. We were at the back of the Microsoft Theater where the ceremony was being held. Ramona and some of the ESPN suits were about five or six rows in front of us. When Jeannie Buss and the MCs asked us all to stand up and honor Jerry towards the end of the ceremony, her and her colleagues were just yucking it up, sitting down, laughing it off, acting disrespectful while the rest of the arena standing up. So I'm putting you on blast, ESPN and Ramona Shelburne. But besides that, she came out with a ridiculous article about 3 days ago saying, that the Lakers was one of desperation, that essentially, putting a negative spin on the deal, that they paid too high a price, that, the Lakers were the desperate team trying to give up everything. That is an absurd claim. First of all, they kept Kuzma, the most polished of their young players, number one. Okay, that's a huge keep right there. Number two, who's really the desperate team? Isn't Anthony Davis the one that New Orleans has to move prior to the trade deadline before he walks in free agency? The Lakers got the player they wanted and kept the guy they wanted and didn't have to give up much. Four pick isn't worth a lot. So to me, that's a poor understanding of the trade and a poor understanding about the star power that they're receiving.
Yeah. I mean, again, if we're going to go back to the media analysis of this, both of characterizing the Lakers as desperate and also in a characterization as to what this means about the Laker organization and so on and so forth. So starting with the idea that, again, and we talked about it as well in a previous Lakers court, the idea that there was chaos in the organization. There did seem to be a lack of clarity in Magic Johnson's departure. I took a firm stance that the management had undoubtedly been improved under Magic Johnson's leadership, and there were some things to criticize, but overall it was a drastic improvement over the Jim Buss era, and of course led to the signing of LeBron James, and then again to what we have today. So, in fact, a lot of the narrative, although it pleased the national media to create this sense that the Lakers were buried and dead, I think there's a lot of eggs on their faces, because the idea is none of this is all that shocking that Anthony Davis showed up. We again knew that the Rich Paul connection existed, but apparently the national media had to provide its daily filler and indicate that the sky was falling and to give the Laker haters their chance to troll for a while, when inevitably the circumstances hadn't actually changed and the Lakers were still in position. Basically, if they got Davis, they were back in the hunt. If they didn't get that for some odd reason, because there had been no indication he ever was not going to come, then there might have been a problem. But then again, so we have this sense of thing, and you realize that repeatedly people in the media have been taking their shots at people like Magic Johnson, and even Jeannie Buss to some degree. And I was more understanding of the criticism of Jeannie Buss because she hadn't said much. But, Mike, what do you think in terms of the criticism of Magic Johnson?
First of all, let's consider the source, number one. A lot of the criticism of Magic Johnson comes from people who don't grasp who Magic Johnson is. I mean, a lot of the people that criticize him are people that their perspective is to get to a higher position in life, I have to work my way up the ladder, kiss the boss's butt, and go through the normal channels and processes to ascend to a position of elite standing in management. This is Magic Johnson. He was certainly qualified to be a president of the Lakers in terms of basketball operations because the man understands the game as much as anyone that's ever played it, okay? And when he had a pre-existing agreement with Jeannie Buss that said, hey, I'm a part-timer here, Jeannie understood, and she was cool with that role, you know? So all the criticism from these jokers, these Arizona boys like Richard Jefferson saying that Magic Johnson and Jay Williams saying Magic Johnson's just a part-timer, Magic Johnson was never there to scout the Division III guard that could be the second-round draft pick of the Lakers. He was there as the closer for the big-name free agents, and apparently it did work because I don't care what anyone said. If Jim Buss was there, LeBron wasn't signing for no 4 years. He might not even have come. So
you know what, Mike? I want to cut you off just real quick. We do have a caller on the line. Let's give him a chance to talk. He's been on hold for a while. I'm glad he called back. Let's give him a chance to talk.
All right.
Hello, sir. You are on Lakers Court.
Hello.
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 Hello, sir. Go ahead. You're on.
I'm a gay man. Don't get me wrong.
Say what?
Hello. I don't.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Don't bother you. You should leave me the fuck alone. Okay, you understand that, sir?
Okay, you got the wrong number, sir. This is a radio show. All right.
Somebody seems to have a problem. I seem to. This guy seems to have a problem. Again, when we go to these callers, hopefully they know what's what and what they're talking about. Apparently, this gentleman had no idea what he was doing.
And for
but that's
you kids out there,
online
don't
radio.
Don't repeat that language for all you young kids out there. Don't repeat that language. Okay. All right. So back to Magic Johnson. I mean, look, he understood that he and Jeannie had an agreement that he was a part-timer. So everyone that doesn't – all this criticism of Magic was never around. He wasn't there to work hard. You know, I think Magic answered this beautifully when he went on ESPN and addressed this issue that he's worked hard his whole life, and he essentially was in a role of a closer. And the funny thing about this, you know, is that ESPN – this is the funny thing. The guy that wrote the article, you know, this article was rumored to be coming down the pipe, and Magic took a lot of steam out of it when he resigned on his own. But yet it still came out anyways, and this joker called up Magic and says, Magic, would you like to you know, I mean, and of course this is what we journalists do. We give the other side a chance to speak, but the absurdity of it all is he contacts Magic and says, would you like to make a statement addressing this? And I love what Madge did. He declined to make a statement. Why on earth should he allow this guy to take some of his quotes out of context, put down half of what he says in a reply to the article? Magic just went to the guy's very own employer on a talk show where he had free forum to vent and tear down the article piece by piece, inaccuracy by inaccuracy. I loved how Madge addressed that, cutthroat, and also, you know, just showing the inadequacy of the article. But it's absurd that Magic got criticized by this because, number one, since when do we hate whistleblowers? Magic was – all Laker fans should be grateful for him to show, hey, Pelinka was acting out of line and, you know, my real role was to be the closer on a part-time basis, you know, and use my general knowledge to elevate the franchise. But, you know, the criticism was absurd. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, again, and you still see people in the media trying to picture this as some sort of – I found it particularly amusing. They even took down Magic for giving congratulatory tweets to Jeannie Buss and even to Rob Pelinka rather than choosing to see that as sort of a magnanimous approach, that, yeah, he had his problem with how he was, you know, went out of there, but ultimately has claimed consistently from the beginning that he backs Jeannie Buss and he backs the Lakers, as he has since 1980 when he joined the franchise and has become its most iconic figure. But unfortunately, you have some people in the media willing to say that trying to mock him for doing that because, you know, they think that because when they rise up in their work, if they get criticized as Magic Johnson criticized Rob Pelinka, he's supposed to somehow stay silent. I think these people need to grow up. He's Magic Johnson. He's always going to be part of Laker fandom, always going to be commenting on the Lakers. If they think he's somehow going to stay silent or should stay silent, I suggest they should be the ones to stay silent instead. In any case,
just to close this thought out on Magic, but for Magic clearing out cap space, you know, making that Mozgov deal, drafting Kuzma, getting rid of Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, you wouldn't have the potential if this trade is finalized on July 30th, where they get $33 million cap space versus July 6th, where they get roughly 26 to 22, depending on whether Davis invokes his trade bonus of $4 million. But if you know, Magic doesn't make those moves, they're not in the potential position to sign maybe a third max guy, perhaps Kemba, Jimmy Butler, someone of that nature. So, yes, Magic has done far more good than harm. And a lot of this bogus article, you know, we have a lot of people quoting sources. You know, what you can, you know, journalists quote sources, and a lot of those statements are hearsay because they're anonymous, right? Wouldn't work in a court of law, okay? But in a journalism article, it can work. But a lot of the complaints about Magic were absurd. He yelled at some employees, apparently. Used harsh language because they were underperforming or something. And they were so fragile, he brought them to tears. I mean, this is how the world works. Do people not have jobs and bosses that are demanding? And if this person, this female employee that later quit, you know, she's no longer working for the Lakers. So there's no issue on whether would there be a problem for filing an intentional IIED tort against, you know, the Lakers for emotional stress, intentional infliction of emotional distress, if Magic really did that. But we haven't seen her filing a claim or lawsuit, you know, against the Lakers or Magic. So maybe these so-called, you know, the so-called harsh treatment she received in the workplace wasn't so harsh because apparently this potential plaintiff does not believe her case is meritorious enough to file a lawsuit and go after her if she was as injured as she claimed. So a lot of the stuff the article was based on seems bogus to me, yelling at an employee when you're the boss. These things happen in the workplace. He didn't cross a line, as he said in the interviews. No HR has ever brought him in. So a lot of this negative publicity for someone that's put the Lakers in a good position and has been a whistleblower amid the dysfunction is, you know, very misplaced, if you ask me.
Yeah, again, like you said, we have legal background here, and I think we'll wait for the lawsuit if we're going to take this seriously. And then we'd report it seriously and honestly if that's what it comes down to. Until then, I think the media get run away with their speculations and buy into the hype a little bit too much more. And it certainly is good clickbait for some. In any case, in the time we have remaining, the 5-6 minutes we have left, I want to focus a little bit about what you think this Davis pairing means in terms of LeBron James and the Lakers' chances going forward and potentially who they might pair up with these guys. From my perspective, I do think it's a little quick that Vegas propelled the Lakers to number one right away. But that being said, they're certainly in the discussion right off the bat. And I think this, more than the acquisition itself, will be the test to see if Pelinka and the new regime has it together. This, I personally give credit to Rich Paul for working his magic behind the scenes. Essentially, his two clients are together. But the idea that this was a brilliant move by the management itself, I think, is a little overstated. However, how they fill out this roster is what they should be judged on, because they have absolutely the foundation for the pieces to go for a championship. Who do you think that might be, and what do you think in terms of putting this team together?
Well, I mean, there's two schools of thought. I mean, a lot depends on when the trade is finalized. If it's July 30th and they're going to get more cap room and they can potentially go after a max guy like Kemba Walker, Jimmy Butler, someone of that nature, a third star, which would be ideal, okay? Particularly Kemba, who could run the point and who's clutch and could create his own shot. But, you know, let's say you don't go that route. Let's say you get a collection of spare parts, you know, a JaVale McGee type center, maybe a Brook Lopez or Rajon Rondo again at the point. You know, you have enough star power right now with that alone. I don't think there's a 1-2 tandem that can match them. I mean, look in the West. I mean, Steph and Draymond, you know, looking with the injuries, are they comparable to LeBron and AD? No. Paul George, Westbrook? No. Harden, CP3? No. I mean, I don't see any of that. Go out in the East, Embiid, you know, Simmons. I mean, they're still on the come up, but I mean, are they at the LeBron AD level right now? No. I mean, if you just fill in the right parts, you don't necessarily have to have a star. You could do this on the cheap, but you just have to have the parts mesh, you know, a little bit more outside shooting, you know, some quality depth. Keeping Kuzma is huge. A lot will depend on what happens when the trade is finalized and how much cap room they have. And if it is on July 6th, they probably won't be able to get a max player to come for a hometown discount. But if that's the case, so be it. You can probably get, you know, with the veterans minimum and various exceptions, you can probably get enough quality role players to surround those two stars. And as long as LeBron remains healthy, they're in the running.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, like you said, that, I mean, there is that possibility if they get the – and, again, there was new news today that from Woj, I think, that they were actually considering the possibility if they could work that with New Orleans to push back the completion of the trade, even making them – even looking potentially to get rid of Wagner and Bonga's contracts to max out. That would also require AD to get rid of the trade kicker and to max out, and then they could follow up with the third star. I don't think there's any question that if the third star is Kawhi Leonard, somehow we're talking about the Lakers as the 2020 champions, absent an immense choke job. Barring that, there still might be some doubt, but they should considerably be the favorite if they get a superstar point guard. Like a Kyrie Irving, or even a Kemba Walker, or even a solid front court player like Jimmy Butler, who can play the two or three. But I would think at this point, the more likely scenario is we're looking at a bunch of more role player guys, veterans, maybe Darren Collison, maybe J.J. Redick, maybe a Danny Green, people with experience who have hit big shots in playoffs, playoff games, will
and all
not
three of those
fold
players you just
when the
mentioned
game's on the line.
Mesh.
Yeah.
And all
yeah.
three of those
all
players
three of
you
them
just
would
mentioned
mesh.
Would mesh. Yeah. Yeah.
And a key
Definitely.
Part of that meshing, and again, Seth Curry might be another guy who you might want to, depending on how much he demands on the market. A lot of these guys are those shooters that some people criticize the Lakers for not having. Again, whether that entire criticism was a little overblown is something to be considered, but and certainly it would solve that problem if they have those shooters like a Danny Green or a J.J. Redick and then a competent ball handler. Any other names come to mind here as we wrap up in this last minute or
well,
so?
Well, the one name that comes to mind, we didn't get into it. How about LeVar Ball, man? We didn't get to talk about no LeVar, man.
LeVar.
He likes to take credit for his predictions. He didn't predict Alan Foster too well, did he? And he yeah. didn't predict, you know, the health of the big baller brand when he said, Lonzo, don't sign and get those millions of dollars at the big-name shoe companies, you know. So with those two financially disastrous moves, didn't help out his kids much. And how
yeah.
did that
Let's always
the way
never
the
forget.
JBA thing?
LaVar Ball is the guy who said he beat Michael Jordan. He would beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. So I think that wraps up the LaVar Ball. I think we just got a couple seconds left. Tune in a few weeks. We're going to hit it up again and see where the Lakers are.
I got
are
one more thing to say
right
about
now.
LaVar Ball. One more thing about LaVar Ball. He's mad because the Lakers didn't sign LiAngelo to a contract. What do you think of that?
Yeah. Well, you know, if they had, if you believe LaVar, if they had all three brothers, none of this would have happened in the first place. So,
right.
You know, the brothers were the key to success, but apparently that doesn't look like it's going to happen. They're not going to get any of these guys. And, again, you know, LaVar's entertainment show will be now in the bayou.
Although I got to say, LaVar, he's taking a bad rap for the comments he made on First Take to Molly, Jalen's wife. I think that was a little overblown, all the criticism he got. It sounded like a very spontaneous remark. You know, I don't think he met anything. It's ambiguous. It might not even have been him flirting. You know, it might not even been that.
Well,
but,
whatever he may have meant, I think he's made some comments today indicating that he denies there were any that he meant to take it there with the sexual innuendo. Again, ESPN has reprimanded him. He's been reprimanded in the media. Yeah, it certainly isn't the most tame language. You know, that's what you kind of get with LaVar Ball. But in any case, he said that quite a few more outrageous things, let's just say, in the past, even than that. In which people sort of used and allowed to keep the clicks going. But again, I think that wraps it up for this time. Let's check it in later in the summer, and the DSH is going to hit it up and see where the Lakers are at then and break it down for you. All right?
Hey,
so then,
tell that one caller we ain't never called him in the first place. I don't know what he's mad about.
Yeah, I don't know what he's mad about. You got to love it, though. All right, man. See you.
All right, Manish.